they call it the divisional round. I always call it the conference semifinals, you know, however you want to get to it. The last eight teams in the NFL, Final Four for each conference coming up this weekend.
I've never thought about it, but divisional round is kind of silly because it has nothing to do with the divisions. If anything, the divisional round would be the first round, the wild card weekend, because beyond that, the divisional winners are not guaranteed anything. So, yeah, it is kind of – I never thought about it, but it is kind of weird.
Why is that they call this the divisional round?
I don't know. Best guess, there's only one by now for the best team in each conference. Maybe – in the past, the divisional winners, got the bye. So, like, you didn't see, the old format, there were two byes. So, I don't know. I think they just need something to call the round.
It is the conference semifinals, though, because the winner of these two teams are going to play, or the winner of these two games are going to play in the conference championship. So, it does make sense. I mean, it's all semantics, but I just had never thought about it. That's interesting.
Hey, I want to go, at the end of the hour, Brad, we were talking about, Pat threw out of all these young quarterbacks, if you had to, if you had to pick one to lead you on an 80-yard drive at the end of a game, who would it be and so forth. And Pat, Matt, picked Mahomes. I went with Joe Burrow, but I think clearly Mahomes and Burrow are at the top there. Josh Allen now has put up great numbers and so forth. I want to see him do it a few more times in the playoffs, leading that type of drive. Obviously, Lamar Jackson won an MVP in his second year, and he's not, around for this weekend because he's hurt and his team is out, and that's a whole other story on what his future is. But if you had to pick a guy to build around, out of all the other young quarterbacks, you got Hurts, Purdy, Lawrence, and Jones, all right, out of those four, I think we all agree, Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen are established. Dak is the other older guy who's kind of established in Dallas, but he's not established playoff-wise like the other guys are. But out of the younger guys, Brad, Hurts, Purdy, Lawrence, Jones, Brad and Matt, who would you pick if you had to go forward with a franchise with just one of those guys? Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy.
Well, I'm taking Brock Purdy off the table immediately because I refuse to believe, I've said this multiple times, I refuse to believe that every team in the NFL got it wrong in their assessment on him. I think he's playing very well for San Francisco, and I think that San Francisco could very well win the whole thing. But I don't think they're going to win because of Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy is a capable quarterback in the NFL, but I equate him to Nick Foles when Nick Foles had that run with the Eagles and they won the Super Bowl. So I'm taking Brock Purdy off the table. I'm going to maybe say Jalen Hurts. I know Daniel Jones is an interesting physical figure and can actually move the ball with his feet in a way that I don't think I gave him credit for before this year. But I think I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts. I mean, I think I've seen enough from him at Alabama and then at Oklahoma and now what he's doing with the Eagles that maybe he's the guy that I would want to build around out of the newcomers, out of the people that you've got on the list.
Matt, out of those four, I mean, you're going to build around one guy, Hurts, Purdy, Lawrence, or Daniel Jones, Matt?
Hurts, Purdy, Lawrence or Daniel Jones, I'm building around Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. I completely didn't think about Trevor Lawrence. I was focused on the other three guys and let that slip by me. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is obviously showing
out of those four, that's who
he's capable of doing it at the next level. But I think Jalen Hurts is too. I mean, I don't hate the Jalen Hurts pick, but I think Trevor Lawrence is more than capable. The other two guys, I'm not completely sold that they're who I want to invest in. And interestingly, if you open the field up to me, I don't know that Patrick Mahomes has done it. He's shown that he's capable of doing it. I don't know if it's as simple with him as saying he's going to be my quarterback. I'm going to build around him. It may be the orthodoxy of the NFL that skews my perception, but I look at a guy like Justin Herbert or Josh Allen, and I think this is a guy that can do what you need to do to be successful in the NFL. But I don't know if that is because I've been predisposed through my whole life to think that you've got to be a big, strapping, tall guy to be able to do it. But Patrick Mahomes, I would worry about building around, even though he's shown again and again with weapons that have gone away that he can continue to play and win at a high level. But I don't think it's as easy as saying, okay, there's our guy. Let's pick that guy and build around him. I think you got to be very specialized in the way you do it.
Although Mahomes and Andy Reid, I tell you what, I mean, it's they've proven to be a pretty tough combination.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, it's that's a given.
And Josh Allen, you know, also, I think he's proven a whole lot already. You know, on the last drive situation that Pat threw out there and so forth, I don't think he's proven as much to me, at least, as Mahomes or Burrow in that situation. Jackson has an MVP, and I know he's not around for this weekend. He's not in this discussion, but it is fascinating to me on Lamar Jackson. Maybe we can talk about that in a second. But out of those four, I think I would go with you guys. I would go with Lawrence based on what he has shown in the second half of the season, this run to the playoffs that they've been on. He's been really good. On Purdy and Jones, it would be, you know, like prisoner of the moment or whatever. I mean, Purdy over the weekend, what did he go for? He throws for 332 and three touchdowns, and he runs for a score. Jones goes on that 12-play, 75-yard drive with the game tied at 24, and he takes him 75. And on that drive, he threw for 58, and he ran for another 7, and he finished with 301 yards passing, another 78 on the ground. Jones really did look impressive. I mean, when I looked at those four, Hurts, Purdy, Lawrence, and Jones, I had to stop for a second and go, man, is the guy with the upside here Daniel Jones? It just might be, but I'm with you. I probably got to go with Lawrence. But the point is, it's good for the league that there's so many good young quarterbacks to pick from.
100%. On First Take this morning, they were – I mean, the discussion was, where do you rank Dak Prescott in the quarterbacks that remain at this point in the playoffs?
Okay.
Right. I would take that a different step and say, how do you rank the quarterbacks that are remaining? And as a part of that, where does Dak then fall into that? And to me, I mean, I'm curious to get your thoughts on it, but I think Dak is pretty much in the middle, maybe on the lower end of the middle, 5 or 6.
I can't put him in the top four. I mean, you start with Mahomes. I mean, you got Mahomes, Burrow, to me, are at the very top. If you want to throw – Matt might throw Mahomes, Josh Allen, then Burrow, whatever.
Yep.
Those three. So you got those three, to me, at the top. Hurts, based on – now, if I just take his injury out of it, if I'm not talking about this weekend, Brad, because I do think – that's a question I have for this weekend and these playoffs is Hurts' shoulder. But if we assume that he's healthy, right now I would put Hurts and Lawrence over Dak right now. I mean, I would put maybe like Hurts 4 right now based on what he's accomplished, Lawrence 5, and then, you know, might put, you know, Dak in there ahead of Jones and Purdy right now is about how, but I don't know. I think you'd have to put Dak in the 5 to 6 range, right, Matt?
That's where I've got him.
Yeah, he's in that 4 to 6 range. I could see the case for Hurts. I mean, I think Hurts was on his way to winning the MVP before he got injured. Not everybody agrees with that, but I think he was.
Or at least top two. I mean, with Mahomes.
Yes.
Mahomes, you know, is going to pull away and win it easily. But Hurts, no, I think for a time he was the front runner. Yeah.
If people wanted to tell me that Trevor Lawrence has just more natural arm talent, I could buy that. So if you wanted to put Prescott 6 out of 8 of the remaining quarterbacks starting in the playoffs, I wouldn't have an issue with that. I would not have an issue with Prescott being 4, 5, or 6.
Here's the thing.
If somebody wanted to put Prescott ahead of those two, I wouldn't have a big issue with that. Prescott should not be in the top three.
Here's the thing you run into, and you could argue this both ways, but sample size hurts Dak Prescott. Sample size is beginning to hurt for me Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Because Josh has shown his fallibility. He can play and make great plays, but he's also prone to making mistakes, and the team is prone to making mistakes, and they don't look as scary as they did last year. Trevor Lawrence, the fact that his sample size is so low, he gets the benefit of the doubt. Whereas Dak, we've seen enough out of him and seen him make the mistakes that he's prone to make.
We know his strengths, we know his weaknesses.
Exactly. Yeah, and so to me, that drags his score down. And I have a hard time putting him ahead of number 5.
Whereas,
you could argue 4, but I don't think there's any way you put him in the top 4.
Whereas 3 years from now, we may see Trevor Lawrence be about like Dak.
100%.
And Lawrence might be where Dak is now. I agree with you. I'm following on that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's fascinating. And then the Lamar Jackson situation, guys. I mean, if you had to say right now, is this headed toward a franchise tag or toward a divorce? Which one are you choosing right now?
They'll tag him.
I think they have to tag him, but I don't think it ends well if they tag him. I think the situation is volatile enough as it is. I think throwing that franchise tag on him with the mindset that he's got right now is really going to be challenging. But I don't think that with what they've got invested in him and the value that he has, I don't think that you can just let him walk away if you're Baltimore.
No chance. Zero chance. He'll be tagged. I'm not fully confident they'll work out a deal by, what is it, like July 15? Isn't that normally the date that you tag somebody by March and then you have until July 15 to work out a deal? I'm not convinced they'll work out a deal before then. I would be, I'll eat this microphone if they don't tag him. I mean, they will put the tag on him. There's no doubt in my
mind. That's a smart enough organization that they wouldn't make that mistake.
Right.
You know, unless he's just trying, I mean, it appears to me, maybe, with this, I guess it's an Instagram. It wasn't a tweet, right?
Yes,
what he put out. You know, and if you didn't see this, folks, here's what it said. He said, when you have something good, you don't play with it. You don't take chances losing it. You don't neglect it. When you have something good, you pour into it. You appreciate it. Because when you take care of something good, that good thing takes care of you too. That's what Lamar Jackson put out there. I tell you what, guys, it looks to me like it just sounds like he's trying to force the divorce. I think he sees franchise tag coming, and maybe he's doing everything he can.
But the only
I still think. Brad, do you think it's too much? I think it's a weird thing that he wasn't at that game over the weekend.
I totally do. I was talking about that yesterday after we talked about it, because I think that in terms of leadership, if you're on crutches, you're still at that game because the quarterback is so crucial to the team. And the fact that he did not travel speaks to me about what's going on with them. Now, that we could find out that there was something more to it and he needed to be in Baltimore for a treatment or something to that degree. But I would think if there was any possible way for him to be at the game, he would be there. And the fact that he wasn't speaks to me about their relationship right now. The question that I have about Lamar Jackson is, has he made enough money thus far in his career, and does he have the gumption to do what Le'Veon Bell did and said, you know what, if you're going to franchise tag me, I'm just not going to play this year?
I don't see that happening. I doubt it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money to turn down.
Answer this one for me, though, Matt. Why has Harbaugh – I don't get why Harbaugh, over the last month or so – I mean, he's had many opportunities to get before the media and say, guys, he's injured. He's hurt. He can't even – I mean, he's had plenty of opportunities to say that, and not once did he say that. You know, he's just saying – man, I don't know. He just acted like, you know, I'm in the dark on when we might see him again and so forth, and can't tell you how bad,
I don't know that this is the answer, but possibly because coaches don't like to reveal their hand, they don't want to reveal that, you know, if they know that, hey, this guy's not going to play, we're not going to have him back, they don't want to say that publicly because then there's doubt in the other team's mind, hey, do we need to prepare for this guy? I mean, that would be one theory. I don't know that that's the theory in this case that is true. I'm just saying, maybe that would be one theory. Why? You know, I don't know.
It just appeared to me he would like to put the narrative out there that he quit on his team more than back up his quarterback and say, guys, you know, man, he's done everything he can to get back, and he's just too injured.
Which does not help that relationship that's already, like I said, pretty volatile. I mean, I look at it, I want to think that there's the possibility. I hate to use the name Kawhi Leonard because we still don't know exactly what went on when he was in San Antonio with him holding himself out. But I would like to think, because Lamar Jackson seemingly has done most stuff right in the way that he's approached this. He said, I wanted a deal before the season. When that didn't get done, he said, I'm going to go out and play. I'm going to do my best. I would like to think that he looked at the Baker Mayfield situation in Cleveland and said, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm not going to make the mistake that he made. So I'm not going to force myself out there and damage my own, A, health, and B, potential contract next year.
Bargaining power.
So I would like to think that that's going on. In terms of the team and him not being on the same page and Harbaugh not taking going to bat for him, that I can't explain. That makes no sense to me. If you think that you're going to resolve this, if you think this guy's going to be your quarterback, be it under the franchise tag or otherwise, then why would you not stand up and go to bat for the guy?
But you did have a bunch of his teammates the other day that came to bat for him and, you know, basically saying, hey, you know.
Well, who was it that said he's limping around?
They want to get him signed.
Well, wasn't there a player? I know it wasn't Harbaugh, but wasn't there a player that said, look, guys, he's limping around the facility? I mean, it seems like all the players have his back. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I don't say this to say that John Harbaugh is not a good guy or anything, but maybe Harbaugh is just playing the company line. Maybe he's trying not to come down one side or the other. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that, Craig. The simplest answer, which I'm good at simple things, did not want to just flat out come out and say, guys, he's hurt, he's not going to be playing, because then Cincinnati would know they didn't have to worry about him.
It was the safety, Chuck Clark.
Okay,
The one that said he's not healthy. You've seen him barely walking here. You know,
you
can't force somebody to play. You know, but one after another, you know, they were just – Sammy Watkins implied to the Washington Post that Jackson would be back on the field if not for a contract standoff with the team, you know. Then he clarified his remarks on Monday. He said, if a guy's hurt and can't play, well, then he shouldn't be out there, you know. But anyway, we'll follow that one throughout the offseason. But it was like Calais Campbell said, you know, you can't let a guy like him go. He goes, I think it's in the best interest of the Ravens organization, give him a long-term contract, make him the guy. But it seemed like the other day, player after player standing up for
him. The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
We have the Thunder back home after this just fantastic four-game road swing. They did lose in Miami, lost a tough one there, but then they go and win in Philadelphia, Chicago, Brooklyn. Now they're back home. They've won 10 out of their last 15. So tonight you got the Thunder at home at 7, but then we have Bedlam in Stillwater at 8 o'clock, OU, OSU playing at 8. So where's your interest right now, basketball? Here in the state of Oklahoma, Brad.
You know, college basketball is such a heavy lift for me. I don't fully enjoy college basketball until the conference tournaments. I know a lot of people love it. As soon as the season starts, they're looking forward to it. I'm way more consumed with football. And this year with the Thunder playing so well, and Oklahoma State being down in the Big 12, even though the conference is so good, I will watch a little bit of the Bedlam game, but I'm probably going to watch most, if not all, of the Thunder game. I'm just really excited about what the Thunder is doing lately.
And Matt, you can jump in. And, you know, Pat was talking about that, and Matt was earlier, about just the product of college basketball, guys, is not what it used to be. It's really not, especially when you compare it back to the 80s. I mean, if you go back to the 80s, I know we're going back a long way, but you go back to the 70s and 80s, I mean, when you had guys – you know, there for 3 or 4 years, and now they're lucky to have some of the best players go spend 1 year in college, Matt. It's the quality of the product, like Brad says. Yeah, everyone gets into the NCAA tournament, or the conference tournaments are fun, but the product is not what the NBA is, right?
Well, it's because the best players haven't had time to really get seasoned yet. I mean, there's still some good talent in college basketball, but it hasn't had time to mature or be seasoned. And so you don't have – plus, you don't have familiarity. You know, like if your favorite team has a rival – you know, for example, you know, North Carolina fans had 4 years to hate Christian Laettner, but I mean, they don't have that now. Right. So you don't.
That's true.
It's just the interest level for a number of reasons.
Well, and it's going to get worse because you know that CBA is going to change, and they're talking about next year being the double draft, and high school players being allowed to go into the NBA. I mean, I understand the knock against that when it was going on, but I always looked at that as being more of a buyer beware situation. And I don't know. I mean, there were a lot of teams that got burned. I mean, I think about Kwame Brown. I think about some of the players that went directly into the NBA that really didn't have a chance of making it. But there were a lot of good players that made the leap from high school into the NBA. Some it took longer than others to make the adjustment. But I do think that the one that's going to suffer out of all of it is the collegiate game, because now you've got one and done, then you're going to have none. So how do you build a team? Then you throw in the transfer portal and these other things that are affecting basketball not in the same way as it is football, but it affects basketball as well. How do you put together a team? If you're not one of the powerhouse blue blood teams, how do you maintain any sort of consistency with your program?
And it's a weird deal in this part, well, in this state. I started saying this part of the country, but because right now, Brad, the Big 12, you have the best of college basketball in the Big 12 conference right now. I think they're like six teams top 25 this week, and Kansas number two got beat by K-State last night, and in the poll this week, I think Big 12 had, Kansas at two and Texas at seven, and then they had 12, 13, 14, and then they had Baylor at 21. But it's great ball, but at the same time, we have OU and OSU, those programs, who have had their great moments, you know, in the last, especially going back last 30, 40 years. But when you're talking Eddie Sutton and you know, what Tubbs and Kelvin and so forth did at OU. But now you got OU and OSU basketball that are down a little bit, while the Big 12 is the best conference in the country.
Yeah, without question. I don't know what the answer is. I don't envy, like I said, the coaches having to try and find a way to maintain consistency. I don't know if it's as simple as having an identity and coaching and recruiting to that identity, because I don't know how committed the players are to any individual program. And maybe that speaks to a flaw that's in the system as opposed to the players having a different perspective on what they want. But it certainly, I do think, factors in here that it does not help that the programs are both down this year. But the fact that we have the Thunder here and the Thunder are in the rebuild and on the upswing, seemingly ahead of the process in the rebuild, it does not help matters for college basketball. There's always going to be those hardcore people that love college basketball, that love their alma mater. But in terms of the casual fan watching it, as good as the Big 12 is, if you want to be an Oklahoma State fan, I don't get that excited about. I mean, there may be a game that I can get excited about, Kansas-Texas game, but on a random Monday or Tuesday night for me to be fired up for Baylor to play TCU, I have a hard time generating the interest level in it.
No, I understand where you're coming from, and Matt and I would say we were diehard college basketball fans. I'll speak for myself. You know, I really was. I love college basketball, but staying at home to watch. I'll still watch the games. Like, I watched that Kansas K-State game last night, and I'll still get into the tournament and all that. But as far as going to attend the games, I've really kind of lost the NBA kind of took that away from me as far as the.
Well, and that's some of that is a problem.
Watch the college game.
Some of that's a problem that specifically Oklahoma is going to need to address. Mark and I have talked a lot about that proposed arena in the northern part of Norman, which I think would help. I think it would get some more fans into the arena. But for most of us, if you live in the north part of town, if you want to go to a weeknight game in Norman, it is a major commitment. And for somebody like me, it's almost an overwhelming proposition. I think about, okay, well, I'm going to have to drive all the way to Lloyd Noble. I'm going to have to park a mile away and walk in. I mean, you probably wouldn't, because the crowds aren't that big right now. But you know what I mean? Yeah. It just, when I start thinking about, do I want to spend my Tuesday night doing that? And more often than not, the answer is no. Now, some of that is because we have we have a spoils of things to do, and there's more things to occupy your time and more things to draw you in different directions. But I do think that there are steps that specifically Oklahoma could do to set themselves up better to be more successful than where they are right now.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Gainesville, Florida, where this recruit, Jaden Rashada, I don't know if it's Rashada, Rashada, anyway, quarterback, big-time quarterback recruit, and he supposedly signs a $13 million NIL deal with Florida. It's actually, he signed the deal with the Gator Collective, all right? And the Gator Collective is an independent fundraising arm, you know, that disperses money to student athletes, all sports. So I got to get your – I mean, number one, when I hear $13 million deal, I could just go, there's no way someone's giving him $13 million. But then the question I have, Brad, is legally, I mean, I'm sure there's signed contracts and so forth. And
this is the kid that decommitted, right, because the money didn't come through?
Well, decommitted from Miami to go to Florida when he signs that lines up this $13 million deal. But yes, to your point, didn't enroll last week after the money didn't come through, I guess. And so now he's looking to get out of the letter of intent. So he signs the letter of intent, all right, $13 million deal with the collective, and then fails to enroll last week, you know, the signal that something was amiss, something had happened with his $13 million deal, which brings the question to me, Brad. So, they even said in this story, you know, the possibility of a lawsuit. So if you do have signed contracts with these collectives, Brad, how enforceable are they? And is some kid going to take him to court and win a $13 million judgment?
He, in that story, because I read it, Craig, but I don't remember exactly what it said. Did he sign the NIL deal, or did he sign the letter of intent with the understanding that that NIL deal was on the table?
The way they word it here, they say his arrival in Gainesville was contingent on a four-year, $13 million NIL deal that he signed with Gator Collective.
So he signed. Okay, so according to that, if I'm reading the right, he actually put pen to paper on the NIL deal
with Gator Collective. Yes, okay. That's what a person familiar with the situation told the AP.
Yeah. Well, if that's true, he's got a beef.
He does have a beef, but then the question becomes, is that the spirit of what NIL was intended to be?
Well, of course it's not.
Because it's anarchy. This is just another instance of it, one, being anarchy, and two, it being a thumbing of the nose at the way that amateur athletics has existed in this country. Now, I get it that it is different, and a lot of people, myself included, thinks that it has needed to be different for a while, but I don't think any of us envisioned a guy signing a $13 million deal to go play at a college out of high school. And, it would seem to me, I said yesterday, my law knowledge comes from having watched the entire Law and Order series. It would seem to me that there is grounds for some sort of a fraud or a failure to live up to their side of the agreement if he had a signed commitment. It baffles me that you would pay someone $13 million. Okay, Spencer Rattler was a highly regarded prospect. And the way that he played at Oklahoma, good and bad, up and down, he's kind of gone to South Carolina and resurrected himself. But I'm using just Oklahoma to illustrate. If he had been paid that kind of money to come to Oklahoma and play quarterback, and he played the way that he played at Oklahoma, how are you feeling about giving that guy $13 million?
I'm not feeling good about it at all. And it is going to be interesting to see, number one, you know, if they can collect on the lawsuit from the collective. And then number two, can they tie? I know they're trying to do business at arm's length from the university, But it said here maybe they could include the athletic department or the university in that lawsuit. That would be a very interesting case.
Here's another thing I don't know, Craig, about this is I don't know, like, how legitimate are these collectives? What kind of operational organization are they? Is it the same as as an LLC or a corporation where you could go and get a judgment against that entity? Do they exist in a concrete enough form for that to even be enforceable? And if not, even if he could get a judgment and say, okay, well, the Citrus Collective is now going to go away because he owns the Citrus Collective, what's to keep them from just forming the next collective and naming it the Gator Collective?
The Sunshine Collective.
Yeah, and doing the exact same thing. You know what I mean? Like, they're just going to stay one step ahead of the judgment. Yeah. It's a crazy world.
I'll let you take this up afternoon. We're a little short on time right now, but I do want to say thanks to Brad, obviously to Matt Meyer doing a great job in studio, as always, to my man Louie right here at Johnson's Kingfisher, and most of all to John and Jeff and all the great people here at Johnson's, to Brown's Bakery. Folks, make the short drive to Kingfisher. Great products here, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram truck, great people to deal with. Come see them in Kingfisher, Johnson's of Kingfisher. All I know is that Florida quarterback situation is a mess. They lose Anthony Richardson to the NFL draft. They dismiss Jalen Kitna because of an arrest on child pornography charges. Emory Jones, another guy, Del Rio Wilson, transfer last spring. They bring in a guy from Wisconsin. It is musical chairs at quarterback.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.